in vain.
Lost in the light, lost in the darkness, conflict and war did I see. Then Jesus found me, loved it around me.
Amen. What a blessing. And I thank the Lord. The choir song was just tremendous. And I requested the song Holy, Holy, Holy to be sung. You know, really, that's what church is all about. It's about His presence. And this morning, that is exactly what I want to preach to you on, the power of God's presence. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go the Old Testament to Exodus chapter number 3. Exodus chapter number 3, in the very beginning of God's Word. And I pray that the Lord would meet with us today. In fact, if you miss tonight, you're going to miss the second part of this message, because I'm going to take the whole day to preach to you on our worship. You know, have you ever maybe shown up to do something? I remember years ago, my son and I, we had rushed to try to do an evening hunt for deer hunting. And well, we packed everything in the car. We got there. And we had forgot the arrows for their crossbows. Can I tell you? We just had to turn around and go home, because we were missing a key element. Have you ever tried to do something before and maybe you were missing something that you could not do it? It's like trying to play a game of basketball without a court and without a basketball. Trying like maybe moving a vehicle without fuel in the vehicle. But I think there are times in life when we as God's people, we might even pray it, and we might even say it or think it, but we have this thought, what is missing in my life? You may say, I know Jesus as my Savior, Pastor. Wonderful. Pastor, I have a good church. Wonderful. But what is missing in my life? The joy is missing. I do not experience God in my life. And I tell you what is missing? It is the very thing that God has created all of us for, and that is worship. We are worshipers today, and tonight I will get into this, but we all worship something. In fact, you can find pagan lands, and you know what they're doing? They're worshiping something. They might worship some animal, they might worship the sun, they might worship something, but there is something that God put within each and every one of us that we are made to worship. In fact, we are saved to worship God. A.W. Tozer said this, he said, God made us to worship Him, and when we're not worshiping, we're stars without light, sun without heat, clouds without water, and birds without song. That's how we are as God's people. I think there are some Christians, as D.L. Moody said, they have enough religion to make them miserable. They're saved and they know Jesus Christ is their Savior, but they do not experience God on a daily basis, and therefore they are miserable in their Christian life because they have not learned to worship. Now we understand as we talk about the subject of worship that there is a private worship and there is a public worship. May I tell you that it is your private worship that enables you for the public worship. When we come to the house of the Lord, it is so important to me as a pastor that you enter into the service in a spirit of prayer, in a spirit of gratitude, in a spirit of worship. I hope that during this choir song that you can enter into that worship. And by the way, worship is not us doing something or saying something that others would recognize us. That's not worship. Can I tell you what worship is? Worship is having the right thought. It is having the right glory of who Jesus Christ is. Amen. It is glorifying Him. It is in our hearts. My God is so great. My God is so forgiving. He is so loving. He is so kind. It is the right attitude towards God. Are your thoughts this morning of the Lord, or are your thoughts of what happened this weekend, or your thoughts of what's going to happen this week? When we come to church, we should enter into the service in a spirit of worship. And I'm afraid that many Christians have come to the place that it was predicted a long time ago, a place where we just come and we pat one another on the back and we congratulate ourselves and we join in the thought of Revelation chapter 3 that says, we are enriched and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Brother, I don't know about you today, but I need what only God can give to me. I come this morning and I'm hungry. I come this morning and I am thirsty for what Jesus Christ can do in my life. Can I tell you what's missing in most of our lives? It is the matter of our private worship with God. We come to Exodus chapter number 3. You may think that this is a different place for us to talk about the power of God's presence. We know in the book of Exodus that God has called a man by the name of Moses. Moses is going to lead. He's going to be the human instrument to lead the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. But Moses had to be put on the backside of the desert for 40 years for him to know God. And on the backside of the desert, Moses had to come to the end of himself to where he would seek God and His glory alone. You know the story of how that God revealed Himself to Moses in that burning bush. The bush, though, was not consumed, but it was on fire. And it was a visible presence of God. It was that God is at work, and our God is the consuming fire. We come to Exodus chapter number 3, and let us begin in verse number 1. And I want us to notice what the Word of God tells us. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites. and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And I want you to notice verse 12. And he said, Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of Egypt, out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. Notice that this encounter that Moses had with God was very sacred. In fact, here is Moses on the backside of the desert, and Moses probably thought that God had forgotten about him. Remember that when he was in Egypt, the throne was his. And Moses, if he had not denied the pleasures of sin for a season and the great riches in Egypt, Moses put that all aside. He forsook all of that to do what God had given him to do. But you know the story that Moses killed a man and hid him in the sand who was oppressing one of his own people. Moses fled for his life, and it was on the backside of the desert that Moses had to come to the end of himself, and now he has this encounter with God, and God says, Moses, take your shoes off. Moses, the place where you're standing is holy because it is my presence. And Moses took his shoes off, and Moses is in the presence of God. And let me tell you something, there is power in God's presence. I'm afraid that there are many children of God who do not know the presence of God. Oh, I know that you're saved and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but you know nothing of the presence of God. You know nothing of the joy of being in His presence. You know nothing of the worship of God. I'm not talking about something that is along the lines of someone doing something or saying something to be seen of men. I'm talking about entering into that worship of God where we confess our sin and we repent of our sin and we worship in thanksgiving and praise and we leave knowing that we have been in His presence. Oh, may God help this church to never lose the presence of God. There are churches out there that have lost the blessing of God, and we might as well write Ichabod above the doors where the glory is departed. Folks, you know something? We can have a lot of excitement here without the presence of God. We can do a lot of things that maybe people would rush to and flock to, but there is power in the presence of God. I know what it is to be in a church service, and I know what it is to be brought into the very presence of God through the Holy Spirit of God. I know what it is to be brought into a service where I'm confessing my sin and I'm getting right with God and I'm surrendering my life to the Lord, and I almost don't want to leave the service because it is His presence. I know what it is to be in His presence alone with my Bible and on my knees in prayer. And I don't even want to stop because I'm in His presence. And I feel like the place where I'm standing is holy ground. And that is where God wants His people. Folks, that is the missing element in most Christians' lives. There is the power of God's presence. We're there in Exodus chapter 3. Would you go to Exodus chapter number 4? And let's pick up, if you would please, in verse number 29, we know that God has appointed Moses, and then He gave him a spokesman, Aaron, to go into the very presence of Pharaoh. Now you have to understand something. Pharaoh was the most powerful man on the face of the earth at this time. Pharaoh had power to destroy them. Pharaoh had great power, unlimited power to him, but not like the power of God. How was Moses and Aaron? Moses was right. Lord, who am I? You talking about me to go and to stand before Pharaoh? Who am I, Lord? But oh, as long as God was with Moses, that was all that Moses needed. We pick back up in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 29. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And I want you to notice verse 31. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that He had looked upon their affliction, look at this. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. That phrase that I find in the last chapter of chapter 4 of Exodus. Then the people bowed their heads and they worshipped. Then Moses and Aaron, they go into the very presence of Pharaoh. How could they stand there? How could they face this mighty man? Because they had been in the presence of the Lord. Brethren, today, do you know the power of God's presence? By the way, what must be done cannot be done here on earth unless we have a divine encounter with God. Unless we know His presence. By the way, do you know that I must live in the conscious presence of Jesus Christ day by day? That's where victory is found. When we recognize that I'm in His presence when I'm at work, and I'm in His presence when I'm in my vehicle, and I'm in His presence when I'm on my phone, and I'm in His presence when I'm looking at the internet, I am in God's presence. It brings victory to life day by day. And oh, it brings joy. It brings meaning to the Christian life. Oh, brethren, for some Christians, their Christian life is really boring. For some Christians, they do not enjoy church. They do not enjoy the Word of God. They do not enjoy prayer because they don't know what it is to worship. In fact, there is no worship without the bowing of the head. And that is what we find. The people bowed their head and they worshiped God. You know what it was? They caught the right vision of God. And when they saw God for who He really was, then they worshiped Him. And that is what is so important, that privately and corporately we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to tell you this, when we are worshiping, we will not be complaining. When we are worshiping, we don't criticize. When we worship, we do not murmur. When we worship, we want to serve Him. When we worship, nobody has to force us to live right and to do right. When we are dwelling in His presence, we will give our lives to Him. We will serve Him and we will enjoy Him. I am thankful for the children God has blessed my wife and I with, and our lives are changing constantly. Our kids are getting older, and two in college now and one in high school, and they work, and it's just busy. But you know what I pray for my children often? I pray, number one, that they will fear the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom, is when they fear the Lord. But I pray that they will serve the Lord, but I also pray this, that they will enjoy the Lord. You know, the only way that we can know and enjoy God is through worship. And I want to talk to you about this today, and I pray that God would help us. Number one, as we think about our worship of God and the power of God's presence, number one, we rest in the presence of God. You know, I think we live in a country that is looking for rest. And I'm not talking necessarily about physical rest. That is very important. And God does give us that rest. But where is the rest for our weary soul? Where is the rest in our culture in which we live in? It is found in the presence of God. And folks, when you know that you are dwelling in His presence, you know that you are walking with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the One who is your rock and refuge and a very present help in time of trouble, there is rest in your life. Amen. I will have to admit to you today, as I preach this message, there is great conviction in my heart. I know what it is to be in His presence, but I want to live in His presence. Oh, I'm looking forward to the day that I will see my Savior face to face. I will behold His face, the One who died for me. I will see the One who gave His life for me. But brethren, we can know His presence here on earth. We can enjoy God now. By the way, I told our Sunday school class this morning, brethren, you will, if you do not experience God, and if you're not experiencing Him, you are not having joy and victory in your Christian life. God wants us to enter in and to bow our head of worship and to worship Him. We rest in the presence of God. Take your Bibles and let's go to Exodus chapter number 33. And I pray that God would help us to understand. Moses and Aaron came and stood in the very presence of Pharaoh, and God gave them victory. God did lead them out of the nation of Israel, and God brought those great plagues. But as we now come to Exodus chapter 33, now Moses has the task of leading them to the promised land. Brethren, can I tell you this? Moses and Aaron could have never gone into Pharaoh's court and defaced him unless they had first worshiped God. And hear me out this morning. It is impossible to have victory in the face of our Pharaohs without having first worshiped God in spirit and truth. Maybe you have a Pharaoh in your life, not necessarily a person, but maybe a situation that you think is insurmountable. Can you imagine Moses and Aaron going in? I think Pharaoh would have said, "Who are you? I mean, come on, guys. You have nothing. I am all powerful." I mean, Pharaoh no doubt thought that, and he acted that way towards Moses and Aaron, towards the people. But he did not know what they knew, and that was the presence of the Lord. And brethren, we face Pharaohs. It might be things that seem like they are such challenges and they are maybe sin habits in our life. It might even be people that we are dealing with that we think, "I can never win. I can never have victory." But may I tell you this, that it is impossible to have victory in the face of our Pharaohs unless we have first learned to worship God. I believe, once again, the thing that is missing most among God's people is the worship of God. A.W. Tozer also said this, and I think he has written probably the best when it comes to the worship of God. He said this one time. He said, "If God were to remove His presence from most churches today, they would move on just like nothing had changed." And I really think that's true. But I pray in this church, and I pray that personally, on a private level in our lives, that God's people are worshiping God throughout the week, that they are spending time in His Word, and they are spending time in prayer, and they are spending time worshiping, glorifying the Lord, praising Him, being grateful to God, and they are telling others of Jesus Christ. And then when we come together on Sunday and Wednesday, that we enter into this service in a spirit of worship and prayer unto God. That's what the Lord wants. You see, the greatest need that we face today is to see Him who He is and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We come to Exodus chapter 33 and we begin in verse number 14, and I want you to notice this. Notice what God told him. Moses had fears. Do you have fears today? Can I be honest with you as a pastor? I have fears. I'm reading a book right now and gave an illustration about a pastor that one night woke up. Actually, his wife woke up and the pastor was at the end of the bed and he was holding an imaginary thing and he was in his sleep doing it. His wife woke him up and said, "Honey, what in the world are you doing?" And he said, "I was dreaming that I was holding a pyramid of marbles and I was trying to keep them all together." That's often what a pastor feels like sometimes with the church. It's like a pyramid of marbles and it's getting ready to crumble, it seems like. Can I tell you, I can't keep it all together. I can't keep my life in the presence where it needs to be. Can I tell you what gives us rest? It's the presence of God. Amen. It keeps everything right. It keeps our spirit right. It keeps our heart right. It is when we enter into His presence and we are knowing Him. Listen, sin cannot abide in His presence. Oh, listen, if you're living in sin, you cannot enjoy the presence of God. If you're going to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, then I'm going to tell you something. You will not know His presence. None of us are sinless here today, but we can know and live a victorious Christian life. That doesn't mean we live sinless, but it means that we are living in victory. But it is found in His presence. Notice what God told Moses again in Exodus 33 and verse number 14. We read, the Bible says, "And He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And He, speaking of Moses, said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence." Here is Moses, and he's getting ready to lead the people of Israel out into the land of promise. And God told him, "Moses, My presence, I will be with you and I will give you rest. And you know what Moses said? God, if your presence is not going with me, then do not carry us up hence. I wonder how many days do we go when we are content to live without the presence of God? We're just content. It's okay that we don't have His presence. It's okay that we do not know the God of gods. It's okay that we do not know and spend time with Him. And we do not know His presence. And we are not experiencing God in our private lives. We go days without that. Not Moses. Moses said, God, if your presence is not with me, then I'm not going. I wonder how many times do we come to church and we're content if God speaks to us or not. We're content if the Lord deals with us or not. But I wonder if we come to the house of God and say, God, I've got to have something from your word today. Help the preacher. Lord, bless those that sing in the choir and bless the special music because I want to meet with God. His presence. It gives us rest. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your home. It'll change everything about your life. Because His presence will give us rest. Folks, Moses walked into that court of Pharaoh with nothing but the presence of God with him. And that was all that he needed. In fact, before Moses had worshiped God, he was afraid. Before Moses entered into that worship, Moses said, I can't do anything for God. But because Moses worshiped, then God equipped him to do the very thing that He had called him to do. Folks, worshiping God should be a way of life for all of us. It should be the very thing that we give ourselves to. You are made to worship. And when you do not worship, can I tell you something? You're not living the life that God wants you to live. I want to meet the Lord and I want to worship Him. In fact, folks, if our worship is not right, nothing will be right. Do you understand this morning? That's the key element missing. If you're thinking today, where is the joy in serving Jesus? Where is the blessing of God? It is found at His feet in His worship. I think some of us, it is possible to live your whole life, even as a Christian. You might even serve in a church. You might even sing in a choir. You might teach a Sunday school class or serve in the ministry full time. But if you do not know His presence, you are missing the very reason for Christ having saved you. He saved us to worship Him. By the way, in order to worship God, we must die to self. Because really what we want is the preeminence. Do you know that's the greatest battle? By the way, we live in a country today of worshipers. But what do men worship today? They worship their own selves. By the way, I'm grateful to know that that Roe versus Wade was just recently overturned. What a blessing. What a praise. We ought to thank the Lord for that. And now the rioting, now the demonstrating, now all of that. Can I tell you why? Because men love themselves. And any of this is against themselves. They want no one telling them what to do. We can live our own lives. We can murder babies. We can riot. We can do whatever we want to do because they are worshipers and they worship themselves. You know what? Some of the greatest problems I faced in my own personal life is because I worship self. And some of the greatest problems I've dealt with other people is because they worship themselves. And you see, when we worship God, our perspective on others is right. When we worship God, our love and care for others is right. When we worship Him, you see, worship brings us into rest. It gives us rest. God told Moses, I will be with you and I will give you rest. This morning, if you are without rest in your Christian life, it is an evidence that you are not abiding in His presence. This morning, if there is a lack of contentment, if there is an unsettledness to your life, I'm going to tell you are not worshiping Him. And by the way, you may think this morning, well, Pastor, I'm not like you. I'm not a Bible college student. Pastor, I haven't had all the education you've had. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. Education has nothing to do with worshiping God. It has nothing to do with it. In fact, in some ways, it can hinder our worship if we are not careful. In fact, the world in which we live in is ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, I'm going to tell you, what we need is men and women of God and young people of God who will learn to walk with God and spend time in His Word and spend time in prayer, and then we will worship Him. Well, there's been times I've been in His presence and I read His Word and I pray. And you know what I begin to do? I begin to confess my sin because God has revealed it to me. I'm going to tell you something. When you get in His presence, it reveals things about your life that we really don't want to see. By the way, that's sometimes why we're afraid of the presence of God. We're afraid of Him putting His finger on things in our life that do not belong there. But when we worship, we rest. We rest in the presence of the Lord. Oswald J. Chambers said this. He said, "A private relationship of worshiping God is the greatest essential element of spiritual fitness." Do you know what a great church service is? What makes a great church service? Now, I'm grateful next week we can have Jim Jordan and Nino Vitale, but I'm going to be honest with you, that's not what makes a great church service. I'm grateful that we can have them. I thank God for those men, and they love truth, and they contend for the truth. I thank God for that. I thank God when we have fellowships. Praise God for fried chicken and sweet tea. Praise God for that. But that's not what enables us to worship God. We have a great choir and great music. That's wonderful. But folks, I'm going to tell you something. A great church service is where we have entered into the worship of the Lord. It's where we get our eyes off of ourselves and off of one another and off of the preacher, and we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. That's what a great church service is when we see Him high, holy, and lifted up. When we see Him who gave everything for us, we see Him in His rightful character, that He's holy and He's righteous, that we are unholy, and we begin to conform to His image. That is a great church service. Number one, we rest in the presence of God. Number two, we recognize the difference between holy and profane worship. Take your Bibles, go to Ezekiel chapter number 22. Now, Ezekiel is a book in the Bible, all right? It's there, closer to the end of the Old Testament. If you come to the book of Daniel, you've gone too far. Just go back one more book to the book of Ezekiel chapter 22. And I want you to hear me out, and I want you to listen to me very closely. I think that it is so important that churches today are a place where the presence of God can rest there. Where His presence... You know what? I grew up at Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee. And I'm so grateful that God brought my family and I there. My mom and dad and my two sisters and myself. And I remember going to church and God beginning to change my life. And can I tell you what it was that changed my life? It was not the great programs. It was not the fantastic teen program or children's program or all the extracurricular activities that they might have had, and they did. But when I came into the presence of God, it transformed my life. You could walk up on that church property and you could sense the presence of God. It was a different place. Something sacred. Something holy there. And can I tell you what? When we are in His presence, we recognize the difference between something holy and something profane. In fact, brethren, there are churches today where once the people held the Bible in their hands and preach the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ, and now it is not even recognizable in that church. In fact, the songs they sing will be nothing even similar to the great hymns that teach doctrinal truth and exalt the Christ of the Bible. Can I tell you, they have entered into profane worship. It's not holy worship. It does not glorify Jesus Christ. Listen, brethren, everything we do here in this house should be done to lift up one name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And what we do privately before God should bring glory to Him alone. Ezekiel chapter 22, let's begin in verse 23, and I want you to notice this. Now, this is an indictment against these preachers. And against these prophets, notice what Ezekiel is saying here. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Look at this. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies into them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. You know, when I come to Ezekiel chapter 22, it is a charge against these prophets and these priests that they put no difference between the holy and the profane. Brethren, you know something? When we get into the presence of God, when we are worshiping in His presence, we recognize the difference between holy and profane. Brethren, is there a difference between the things of the world and the things of God? Yes. Is there a difference between the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of Christ? Yes, there is a difference. And as God's people, if we dwell in His presence, we will recognize the difference. And we will say, I want nothing to do with that type of music, because that is not holy worship to God. I want nothing to do with that entertainment, that type of entertainment. I want nothing to do with that speech and that communication. I want nothing to do with that crowd, because it is not holy unto God. You see, brethren, can I tell you, His presence not only gives us rest, but it helps us to recognize the difference between holy and profane worship. In fact, it separates us. Do you know why? Some people, if you are trying to walk with God, why some people don't want to be around you? Because you are in His presence and they are under conviction in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you something. It should be such that we live such holy lives and separated lives that parents, our children, and husbands, our wives, and wives, our husbands, and our co-workers know that there is something different about our life. They know that we have been in the presence of the Lord. In fact, did they not know that about the apostles? That they knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but that they had been with Jesus. Oh, listen, brethren, I need His presence, and you need His presence. And all of us can know the presence of God in worshiping Him. Well, folks, we worship a holy God, and we are to make a difference between that which is holy and that which is profane. Listen, just because it happens within the closed doors of a church does not necessarily mean that it is holy worship unto God. Oh, listen, let us make a difference, and let us understand. I pray that God's people here will be such strong in the faith and such strong in the Word of God that if I were to ever preach something or ever allow something to be sung or allow something to be done, that they would say, Pastor, that's not holy worship unto the Lord. Oh, listen, it is all about the worship of Him. Number three, when we worship, not only do we rest in His presence and we recognize the difference, but folks, we worship with reverence and godly fear. Would you take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter number 12, and I want you to see something very important. This worship with reverence and godly fear. Now, brethren, that does not mean that we should never laugh. I think church is a good place, that we have the right kind of laughter. It doesn't mean that we are in the presence of the Lord that We do not praise Him. There's times of weeping. There's times of joy. Listen, I've left church service before and I couldn't hardly contain the joy that I had in my heart because I'd been in His presence. There's times when I've left the Bible and His Word and I just can't hardly stand it because I've been in His presence. I remember when I first came to know the Lord as my Savior. Oh, listen, the Bible became a new book to me. And I wanted to spend time with the Lord. And I couldn't get enough of God's Word. And boy, I just wanted to spend all day in His presence. Listen, brethren, you and I can know what it is to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we worship with reverence and godly fear. Now, the word reverence means with downcast eyes and with bowed head. Folks, we recognize in His presence that He is holy and we are unholy. Do you understand something? When we are so proud and we are so stuck on ourselves and we exalt ourselves, it is an evidence that we are not worshiping God. Because when we worship God, we just want to talk about Him. We just want to glorify Him. And by the way, when we worship God, we see ourselves as we really should see ourselves. Every time in God's Word you find a man that was brought into the presence of God, oh, listen, things changed. His life changed. Why? Because he had been in His presence. We come to Hebrews chapter 12, and I want you to look what the Bible says in verse number 28. Hebrews 12 and verse number 28, it says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." I'm going to tell you this morning. If you worship in reverence and godly fear, then that sin in your life, that unconfessed sin, will no longer be there because you will confess it and forsake it before God. You cannot live in looking at things that are dishonoring to Christ and listening to things that are dishonoring to Jesus. You cannot live in that life if you are worshiping Him. You see, we worship with reverence and godly fear. By the way, when Peter, and I won't take you there, but when Peter saw who Jesus Christ really was, this was after the resurrection, when Peter saw Jesus, he fell at His feet on the shore of Galilee and confessed who He was and who Christ is. He said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He said, "God, I've forsaken You. I've denied You." Oh, listen, Peter, when he came into the presence of God, it changed everything about him. Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah chapter 6, I won't turn you there. But when Isaiah saw the Lord for who He was, high, holy, and lifted up, you know what he said? "Woe is me." When I'm in His presence, I see myself as sinful and selfish and self-serving as I really am. And then I say, "Lord, here am I, send me." You see, when Isaiah saw God, he worshiped God. Folks, if some person of great importance came into our auditorium, you know what? We would maybe even stand. We would give attention. I know that when we have our special day, when we honor our veterans, we stand to give them a standing ovation. And I think it's commendable and right that we do so. But folks, if you and I were to enter in the presence of God, we would not stand. We would immediately fall on our faces before Him. You know, there's coming a day that we will see Him. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We will be lying face down before Him because of His presence. And when we are in the presence of God, we worship with reverence and godly fear. By the way, we live in a nation today that has lost the fear of God. But in order to lose the fear of God, we had to change the God that we feared. We live in a land of a little God. You see, America does not fear God. In fact, you know, years ago, people, if a Christian were to walk into a room, people might stop what they're talking about. They might stop what they are saying because they feared God, but no longer today. Now there are scoffers and mockers who mock the name of Jesus Christ. They have lost the fear of God. But brethren, when we enter into His presence, we worship with reverence and godly fear. Psalm 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice." Now, folks, what we need more than anything else in our land and in our church today is not surface treatment for the sin issues in life. We need a revival of who God is. Amen. To know Him. Folks, God the Spirit, in the life of the believer, seeks to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and to exalt Him. This is why the Holy Spirit in us is grieved when we hear something that is not Christ-honoring. Do you understand that the Holy Spirit within us is to exalt and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father? Folks, we must understand that when we are living our lives and we are living with a grieved Holy Spirit, no wonder we do not know the presence of the Lord. By the way, our church service should be alive. Not alive with fleshly entertainment, but alive with the Spirit of the living God. Amen. That people are coming and I want to enter into this service and I want to worship my God. I want to know my God and I want to go out into this world and tell others about my God. Number four and the last thing. As we worship in the presence of God, we are equipped to do God's work. Can I tell you something? That when God found Moses on the backside of the desert, he had been there for 40 years. But when Moses saw a bush on fire and it was not consumed, in that bush, Moses witnessed the glory of God. Folks, can I tell you this? The greatest responsibility we have in life is to answer God's call. And could it be that people are not surrendering their lives to God's call because they do not know His presence? Because when Isaiah was in the presence of God, he said, "Lord, here am I. Send me. Lord, I'll serve You." When Peter came into the presence of God, then he gave his whole life, even to give his life for the Lord. Listen, we are equipped to do the work of God when we have been in the presence of God. In fact, A.W. Tozer said this, "God wants worshipers before workers. Indeed, the only acceptable workers are those who have learned the lost art of worship." Folks, it is a lost art today. It is something that most Christians and many people have forsaken, the act of worship. In fact, folks, God takes ordinary things and He makes them holy things by His presence. He takes ordinary men and He changes them to be holy men by His very presence. Oh, listen, before Moses could ever be used of God, he had to come into the presence of God. By the way, do you know something? When we are in His presence, we have the right view of God. In fact, do you know that churches who have little faith have a little view of God? And people who have little faith have a little view of God. But people with great faith have a great view of God. Because they have entered into the worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to listen to me very closely. Is there something missing in your life this morning? There's no joy. There's no victory. There's no rest. There's no real repentance in your life. It's because you are not worshiping God. You don't know Him. When is the last time that you really came into the presence of a holy God? For years, 12 years, my wife and I worked with young people, and the summertime reminds me of going to camp with young people. You know what I loved about summer camp? It brought kids into the presence of God. We got them away from technology and TV and all of that. And for a whole week, they heard preaching after preaching after preaching. They were made to read their Bible. They were made to pray. And you know what? By the end of the week, those kids were transformed because they had been in His presence. Sin? They denied sin. They confessed and forsook sin. Their friends, they forsook them because they were the wrong crowd, because they had been in His presence. I'm going to tell you this. The presence of God brings healing to our hearts. The presence of God brings victory. The presence of God brings revival. Listen, it is His presence. That is the reviving presence of Jesus Christ. And I want to live in His presence. I want to know Him. I want to experience the God of gods and know Him. And all of us here can know the Lord. We can worship Him. We can walk in His presence because that is what God has called us to do. Folks, I cannot speak for you today, but I can speak for myself and I can say that I want to be among those who worship Him. John 4, verse 23 says, "But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Brethren, I'll tell you today, I just want to say to the Lord, God, I will do whatever it takes to be in His presence. Listen, is it that serious to you today? Do you say, "Pastor, I will confess any sin. I will deny anything in my life just so I can know His holy presence"? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I'm so convicted today. Lord, would You move mightily among us this morning? Would You convict us of how little we know You? Would You deal with us because of our lack of worship? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many would be honest today and say, "Pastor, I must be honest today that I have not really been living in the worship of the Lord. And God has dealt with me today." Would you lift your hand and hold it high? That's me, preacher. That's me. That's all over. That's all over. Oh, listen, the devil just wants you to get distracted. He just wants you to get busy. But in your busyness, you will be barren. And in your distractiveness, oh, you will be so off course. Today is a call that we would worship Him. Listen, what needs to be fixed in your heart and life cannot be fixed without His presence. The joy, the rest, the victory, it's found in His presence. Let's stand together, would you please? And I want to have a word of prayer. And today, I want us to really allow God to do His work. Would you let the Lord have His way this morning? And I'm going to ask many of you to leave your seat in just a moment and come to this altar. Confess your sin before the Lord and say, "God, You've dealt with me. Have You loved your sin more than You have loved your Savior? Have You loved yourself more than You have loved the presence of the Lord?" Let God have His way. Father in heaven, Lord, I don't know about our people, but I know I'm convicted. God, help us to just be focused on You, worshiping You, knowing You, spending that time alone with You that is necessary. God, we know that without worship, we are miserable. And Lord, we look to You today. What needs to be done in this church can only be done by Your presence. What needs to be done in our lives can only be done by Your presence. Help us today. Speak to us today. May our people respond. May we yield. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymn. Let's go to hymn number 816. "Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way." Let's sing this song together. But I beg of you and I plead with you, would you leave your seat and come? Find a place here and worship Him. And may we enter into that. Hymn number 816. Let's sing it together.
Hold me and make
I want to thank you for your attention this morning. And I'll tell you, my heart is so stirred about this. God has dealt with me about it in my own personal life. May we worship Him. May we live in the worshipful spirit in our lives. Now tonight is part two, all right? I've only given you half the message, so you got to come tonight to finish this. And I want you to be here tonight. I'm going to give you some very practical things that can help us in our worship of God and to deal with us and help us as families, as couples. It's the missing ingredient in many of our lives, and I pray that God will help us. By the way, you know when someone's worshiped the Lord. You know. They've been in His presence. There's an aroma about their life that God does in our hearts. Tonight, we'll also, after the end, we'll have that ministry update. I want you to be here. I'm going to give you some specific details about next Sunday, and you be in prayer in a special way. Well, let's close in a word of prayer. My wife and I will greet you on the way out today. Brother Stevenson will close us in a word of prayer.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that we have the opportunity to come boldly before Your throne and be able to worship You for who You are. And Lord, we thank You for all the different things that You have done through our life, starting with salvation and the blessings that You give us and the protection that You have for us. And Lord, I pray that we would remember to thank You for those things and to worship You for that. Lord, we know how great You are and how amazing You are. And I pray that we would have the faith to be able to pray for the things that we know that You have put on our heart for those people who still need to be saved. And I pray, Lord, that we would have faith in You. I pray that we would pray to the big God that You really are. Lord, I pray that You give us safety on the road and bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.